Welcome to this sermon from Christ Church. Have your Bible ready, and let's begin.
Thank you. Whoa. A little hot right there. Father, thank you so much for this time to be together. Thank you for this reminder, Lord, of the power of your presence in our lives. I pray, God, that you would just fill us with a sense of your love this morning. Father, as we're going to look at the book of Ephesians, where the Apostle Paul prays, we would know all the dimensions of your love. I pray, Father, that we could know that this morning in a very personal and real and transforming way. And I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, good morning, church. It's so good to be with you today. Allie and I, we went on our first family vacation this week. Went to Arizona. You can clap for that, sure. Flying with a 9-month-year-old is so fun. She developed this, she does this high-pitched scream now. Kind of her new thing. Yeah, see, moms are like, oh yeah, yeah. And the last 20 minutes of the plane ride, just full blast, high-pitched scream. So, but yeah, it was fun. Really good time. Really good time. But glad to be with you. And today we're going to continue our sermon series in the book of Ephesians. And I love reading, and I love stories about people who just kind of accomplish really impossible things. And you may or may not be aware of this, but there was a huge barrier that was just recently broken in the world of running, and a man broke the 2-hour marathon barrier. So no one has been able to do a marathon in under 2 hours, but just a few weeks ago, this guy, Eliud Kipchoge, give or take a few syllables, Eliud Kipchoge, I think that's right, he broke it. He did a marathon in 1 hour, 59 minutes, and 40 seconds. Now, that's pretty amazing, but let me just kind of put it in some context for you, because you're going to be really blown away. That pace is running all 26 miles at 4 minutes and 34 second pace. That's amazing, isn't it? That's hard to believe that anyone can do that. I mean, I can't run a half mile at 4 minutes and 34 seconds, let alone 26 of them. And then here's it, just to give you another perspective on this, that's running at 13 on your treadmill. So if you crank it up to 13, at that point, that's a liftoff speed. I'm getting jetted out into the universe. And that's what this guy did. It's amazing that someone is in that shape. And if you watch the video, today you can go YouTube it, and you watch the video. When he finishes a race, he goes and hugs his wife, and the guy doesn't look tired at all. I mean, he looks like he just kind of got up off the couch. Like, it's hard to believe that someone is in that incredible shape and that can be done. And it was kind of one of those things that many people said, no, 2-hour marathon can't be broken. That's just kind of a human limitation. And Eliud, one of his big sayings is, there are no limitations. There are none. And he did it. As hard to believe as that is. And today I want to talk about things that are hard to believe. Because just like the athletic world, there are things in our spiritual lives that are hard to believe, but nonetheless true. And I find that a lot of people, one of the things that is hardest to believe in our lives is actually good things about ourselves. I've seen so many people in our church, someone gives you a compliment and they're like, you look good today. You're like, no, I don't. Don't you dare say that. I look fat. I look ugly. I look old. Somebody's just trying to compliment you. It's just too hard for you to believe. I know how some of you are. And people want to say, point something out, and it's just really hard to believe something good about yourself. And I think in life, it's sometimes even harder to believe something good about God. That sometimes life happens and life gets tough and we go through hard things, and it's hard to believe that God still loves us, is still for us, still has some kind of plan that's ultimately good. And in those moments, it's hard to believe that. And sometimes your faith is just being stretched to the absolute limit, believing that God cares for you, that God's for you, that God's good, that God can be trusted. And so today I want to talk about something that the great apostle Paul, he's going to ask us to believe something that's hard to believe. And he's going to say, I want you and I need you to believe this, because if you do, it will transform you. And he talks about this in a prayer, and I want to read it to you. It's Ephesians chapter 3, starting at verse 14. And here's what he says. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. For this reason, I'm just praying desperately. Before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. So Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, and here's the core of it, church, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, let me just put this really simply for you today. Paul is saying, I'm praying desperately that you would know the fullness of God's love for you through Christ. He says, it takes strength to comprehend. In other words, it's hard to believe. It's hard to believe that there is a God that is crazy about you. It's hard to believe that there is a God that loves you in such incredible dimension that Paul says, I can't explain it to you. You can know it at one level, but it's something that you know, you can only know in a way that is even beyond knowledge. And Paul's saying, it's hard to believe, but I'm praying that you would know that love that God has for you. And so today I want to talk about that one of the hardest things you will believe in this life is God's limitless love for you and for me. It's one of the hardest things to believe. But here's what I also say. It's the most important thing to believe. And you need to know it. And you need to believe it. And you need to receive it. Because Paul says when you know it, it strengthens and it changes and it transforms our inner man. It creates a new place to live from on the inside. Because we live life from the inside, right? Things happen on the outside, but it's our character, it's our soul that we really respond and live life from. And Paul says, if you know this love that God has for you, it will transform you from the inside out. You with me on this, church? And so that's what I want to talk about. One of the hardest things to believe is God's limitless love for you. Now, Paul says that this is so hard to believe that he says, I am getting on my knees and praying to God that you would know it. Now, in the ancient world, most people prayed standing up. I know many of us, when we hear prayer kind of going on our knees, that makes some sense. But in the ancient world, that was a very unusual thing. If you were praying like this, you like that prayer stance? 34 years to perfect that. You would have looked very unusual. People stood and they looked up when they prayed. So what Paul is saying is he's saying, I'm so desperate for this that I don't care if I look like an idiot. I'm going to just radically humble myself before God so that this happens in your life, because that's how important this reality is. And so he prays with a great desperation and a great earnestness. And notice that it's a prayer, again, that leads to the transformation of our inner being. And I think so many times, but before I move too far into this, I just want to point out that I love how Paul, notice this prayer, this is a prayer about internal transformation. And when I was thinking about it this week, many times my prayers are about external change. God, help us with this bill. God, get Allie a job. Please. Please. Please, Lord. I just can't. For example, I'm speaking hypothetically. So many of my prayers end up kind of being on the superficial, but notice Paul's prayer here is completely focused on the internal. And I think it's just important to point that out because so much of our life, we want to clean up the external realities of our life. And we put so much effort into the outside. But when you read these biblical prayers, it's not God change all these circumstances. It's God change me at my core. And I just want to encourage you to pray for that in your own life. That, yeah, we can pray for things on the outside. Don't get me wrong. And I think God's honored when we do that. But we also have to pray that God makes us different men and women. That God makes us people of great character and people who live this world differently from the inside out. And this was Paul's prayer for them. Now, what's interesting is that the meat of the prayer is that they would know the love of Christ. And if you've been here the last couple weeks, we've been looking just at Ephesians one chapter at a time. And he's talked from the very beginning, from the beginning of chapter one up until where we're at now. And he has talked about God's love for these people. He talked about in chapter one how God loved them before they even knew of God. Remember that? Those of you who are here, that he said, he chose you in love. He adopted you to be sons of Jesus Christ. And he speaks very beautifully about this eternal love of God. Then chapter two, he talked about God's love for us, that he rescued us while we were far away, going the wrong direction. Christ made us alive. We've been raised up with Christ. Last week, we saw that though we were far off, he brought us near. Remember this? Anyone with me this morning? Can I get an amen? Thank you. And so what I'm pointing out is that they know about the love of God. And Paul's talked about that they know about the love of God. But Paul says, you know it in one way, but in another way, you don't know it. And I think you know what he's talking about, right? And in your head, you know, yes, God loves me. But sometimes in our heart, we don't really believe that. In my head, I know God's good. He's working all things according to his good purpose and his will. In my head, I know that if I trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean on my own understanding, then he'll make my ways straight. But sometimes the pressures of life make me really question that in my heart. You with me on this? I know it in my head, but I don't really know it in the deeper places of my soul. And that's what Paul's prayer here is that you would just not know God loves you, not just be able to say, yeah, I know he loves me. I know he loves me. Christ did this for me. But it would become the center that you live your life from. And that love would totally rock your world and transform you. You with me on this? He's praying for a deeper level of knowing. It reminds me of this guy here. This is a guy named Charles Blondin. And in the 1850s, he was a world-famous tightrope walker. And he had the idea that he was going to tightrope walk Niagara Falls. And people hadn't done it at this point. And so a lot of people said, he's going to die. Because one of the things about doing like a big waterfall is the wind from the water, you know, is pretty intense. And then the overspray. So it gives you some unusual dynamics and something that's already completely dangerous and crazy. And not only that, when he set up his tightrope, it wasn't all that tight. So it had a nice sag in the middle. So people were like, dude, you're for sure dead. And so, of course, thousands of people came to watch, right? Because it's like you can't turn away. And so people thought, this guy, this is not gonna happen. But he made his way, and as he was going, he went right to where it was sagging, and he began to slow down. And everybody thought, oh, man, do I look? Do I not look? What do I do? And then all of a sudden, he sprinted on it the rest of the way just to show his total dominance of being able to navigate these tightropes. And then he just continued to escalate it. At one point, this is a true story. At one point, he brought out a little stove and he sat down in the middle of the tightrope and he cooked an omelet. I'm not kidding. I know, it's hard to believe. He cooked an omelet, and then, you know how there's the Maiden of the Mist today? Well, there was something like that. I don't know what it was called back in 1850, but he let down the omelet from a string and people on the boat ate it. That dude's my hero. I mean, that's just cool to even think about that. I could think of a few things to do on a tightrope, but cooking an omelet would not have been one. And then eventually he carried a guy on his shoulders across, and he told the guy, he said, hey, don't try to balance. If you try to balance, we're both dead. Just let me do all the work. And they made it across. And he just did these remarkable things. And then finally, one of his last things was just pushing a wheelbarrow across. You know, that was filled with a bunch of potatoes and weights and things like that. And so he made it to the other side, and all the reporters were there. And he said, hey, do you guys think I could do this wheelbarrow with someone in it? And at that point, who's going to doubt this guy, right? You're cooking omelets on tight ropes. And they're like, yeah, we for sure believe that you could do that. He's like, you really believe it? Absolutely. Who wants to get in? Guess how many volunteers? None. And I don't blame them. See, they believed it, but did they really? And I think so many times in life, we believe God loves us, but do we really? We believe it, but do we really? We believe it at one level, but do we really believe it in the deep and the raw and the real places in our heart? And this is Paul's prayer, that we would believe it, that it would become the place that we operate this life from, that it would transform us entirely. It's a hard thing to believe, God's limitless love for you. And why is it so hard to believe? And I think one of the reasons this is hard to believe, and one of the reasons why Paul is just praying so desperately, is because in life, we learn the wrong things about God and ourselves. And many times, it's a lot harder to unlearn things than to learn things. You with me on this? Have you ever tried to unlearn something? It's really hard. And in life, we carry a lot of ideas about God and ourselves deep in our hearts that are buried under layers and layers of junk. And why Paul is so intense about this prayer is because he knows these false ideas are not going to lose ground easily. Because no matter how many times I tell you God loves you, in some of our hearts, there's really a place in us that is saying over and over, no, he doesn't. Maybe others, but not me. Because it's hard to unlearn things. Some of you might know that I'm a bit of a guitar player. I don't know. Yeah. That was good. I don't know why people laugh when I say that. But years ago, there was a guitar at my house, and I'm left-handed. It was a right-handed guitar. But years ago, I learned to play about 3 songs, not in their entirety. Judgy people, I see those. I can play like the very beginning of it, and not well at all. But I learned how to play it and played upside down. And I have a lot of musical people in my life. It's kind of a way that God has cursed me. I have no musical ability, but there's all these talented musical people around me that make me jealous. And one of my friends, you know, he was like, hey, he's a real good guitar player. He's like, I'll teach you how to play, but you can't play it upside down. And I said, well, Jimi Hendrix did. He said, you're going to compare yourself to Jimi Hendrix. I said, I know, it's hard to believe, but he said, but you're going to have to flip it and play it the right way, which is this way, right? Guitar people? Yeah. I want to play it this way. And it was, I didn't do it. I still, all I can do is what I could do 15 years ago, which is very unimpressive. It was just too hard to unlearn that. And I have all kinds of excuses. I'm not going to list through all of them for you this morning, but it's hard to unlearn things. That's the point. And I think many times in life, there are these deep-seated beliefs that we have that are contrary to what Paul is saying to us in this passage, that we are absolutely beloved by God. For some of us, maybe what makes this hard to believe is that we just question the existence of God in general. We're just not sure, does God exist? Is he good? Does he care about me? And if you question the existence of God, I want to actually encourage you to pursue those questions. I think sometimes what happens in life is that when we start to question, does God exist and who is he? I think sometimes we disbelieve too early. And that often some of the questions that we wrestle with, there are answers to. There are things that maybe feel so unclear to us that if we put some effort in, some of those things can become clear. And I want our church to be a place where you can explore and question everything. Because if you can't do it here, where can you do it? At home on Google, right? If you can't do it in church, if you can't ask the hard questions, then where can you? And I think church has to be a place where we can ask our hard questions, that if you're exploring your faith, I'm so glad you're here. And you don't have to believe to be here. In fact, this is a place to work through that. And so I would just encourage you, again, if you're thinking through that, then pursue truth. Ask the hard questions. Here's what I found. At the end of the day, all truth is God's truth. If you're really searching for answers, you might be surprised that you will actually find them. And I would say also this, many times our disbelief in God is not an intellectual issue, it's a personal issue. And anger likes to disguise itself as disbelief. And many times it's not that we don't believe in God, we're just mad at him. And you know what? You can process that here too. We've all been there. We're humans. It's hard. Things happen. But if you work through that, you might be amazed at what happens in your life. You with me on this, church? And so sometimes it's that existence question that really makes it hard to believe. Sometimes it's our experiences in life that some of us have grown up and we've experienced a sense of not being wanted by others. And so there's something in our soul that just cannot really fully believe that the God of this universe is crazy about us. Some time ago, I was talking to a friend, and he had expressed that all growing up, no one wanted him. He said his parents didn't want him, and he knew it, just kind of got passed around from relative to relative, place to place. And so he grew up with the sense that no one wants me. I don't really have a real home. I'm just kind of an inconvenience that gets passed off till someone is willing to endure it. And that's what he grew up experiencing and believing. And he hit some trouble in his married life, and he felt like that same thing was happening in his marriage. And he says, here I am again. Now the family that I created doesn't want me. And as I listened to that story, I thought, how hard it's going to be for him to believe that God does want him, that God absolutely loves him, that God is so for him that he sent his son to die for him. That's how bad he wants him in his family. It's hard to believe when you go through things like that. You with me on this, church? And those beliefs that we carry, those experiences, they don't always come out easy. And they fight against this radical love that God has for us. For some of us, maybe the issue is just our mistakes. Say, God might be crazy about other people, but it can't be about me. I've done this, I've done that. I love when people say that to me. God can't love me because of what I've done. I want you to know that is like the easiest thing to answer in the New Testament. That's like, you just gave me a softball, buddy. God can't love you. Let's talk about the cross. Here's what it means. Everything you, every dumb thing we've ever done, in that moment, it is forgiven forever and always. It can never be thrown in your face. Ever. You can't throw it in your own face. And everything you're going to mess up in the future, because you're going to mess things up in the future, guess what? That's covered too. That's how incredible the cross of Christ is. And if you feel like you are the exception to God's love, let me tell you, you're not greater than the cross. You're not greater. Your brokenness isn't greater than the cross. Whatever's messed up in your life, it's not greater than that. And so this love is for you too. For some of us, maybe it's a different thing. It's maybe that we connect love with performance, love with achievement, that love's about what we do. Now, in my own heart, I know that's not true. I know today that there's nothing I could do to make God love me more. Theologically, I know that's true. I can take you through all different verses in the New Testament. I can talk theologically about the work of Christ. I know that what I do does not determine God's love for me. But here's the truth. There's something in my heart that doesn't believe that. I don't know why. There's something in my heart that believes I am what I do. I am what I achieve. I don't know why I'm that way. I just know that I am. I just know there's something in me that always wants to achieve and do better. And when I really honestly examine my heart and peel back the layers, that there is this belief in me that what I do determines my level of love. I don't know why it's there, church. I'm not real glad it's there, but I know it's there. And it's a belief that's hard to get out. But here's what Paul's saying. God loves you not because of what you do, but because what he did for you. It's a game changer. It's a different place to love. And in my mind, I used to think that the greatest privilege in life is being used by God. This is a belief that I've carried in my life, that the best thing that could happen with my life is that God would use my life to help other people. And that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. But I thought that is the pinnacle. That's the greatest thing. But as I was meditating on the text this week, I realized the greatest thing is not to be used by God. The greatest thing is what Paul's saying here, that I'm loved by God right now. That's the pinnacle. And Paul says, you're at the pinnacle. You don't have to prove anything. You don't have to achieve anything. You don't have to win anything. You're there because you're already fully loved by Christ. And Paul's saying, I'm just praying you would know it. I'm praying you would know it so much that you just live life differently. Because when I know it, then I don't have anything to prove. What do I have to prove? He loves me. I'm good to go. I'm his. He's forgiven me. And there's only a good future to step into. It's hard when you really look in your heart. It's hard to believe what Paul is saying there. I believe maybe some of these things that I've talked about, maybe none of them are your struggle. Maybe your struggle is something else. But here's what I believe. We all have a struggle. We all have some belief that has lodged itself in there that's not going to give up easily. And that makes us question the love of God. But today, my prayer for you and my prayer for me is that God would begin to release those things and we could know in the deepest way possible the incredible love that Christ has for us. That's my hope. And then here's the last part of it. some ways that we can practice it in our life is, number one, just routinely ask God, routinely pray for this. Messing up my slides. Routinely ask God for the power to know and experience the love of Christ. How can we grow in this today? Make this a daily prayer. God, I pray that I would really know your limitless love for me. Pray that every day. Pray that for the people in your life. Moms and dads, can we pray that for our kids? That they would know that above all, what the height and the depth. Because it, when you know that, when you see how much God loves you, it's hard not to love him back. Right? When you have someone that you meet in life and you're like, I don't really like this guy. But then they're so nice to you. You're like, don't make me like you. You did it. I like you. Let's hug. This is kind of the Lord's strategy. Man, I love you so much. And then our hearts begin to soften. When you see how much you matter to God, God begins to matter to you in greater ways. And let's pray that for people. Here's the other thing. Let's obey God quickly. If God loves us this much, then he can always be trusted. In your life and my life, if God is asking you to do something, do it. Trust him. Follow him. He loves you. He's not going to mislead you. He's for you. His purpose, his plan, it's always better than our harebrained ideas. And we can trust him. And then lastly, pray for someone else. If you're a follower of Jesus this morning, is there someone in your life that is empty of this love? Is there someone close to you? Is there family? Is there friends? Is there people that you work with that you know that what Paul is saying is true? And if they knew the love of Christ, so much other life would be different. Would you pray diligently for them like Paul prayed diligently for us? When was the last time you bowed your knee before God and said, Lord, would you do this? What if in the next couple of months, we as the church began to bow our knee before our Heavenly Father and began to ask God to just break through into people's hearts that they would know his limitless love? I don't think there's probably too much of a better thing we could do as a church family. What do you think? What if we just prayed earnestly and said, God, I am bowing my knee before you, asking that this person would know your love. Now, here's the last thing about the love. Is that when you think about this love, sometimes people, they don't like sermons like this. Because they're like, Chet, if you tell people God loves them that much and they're forgiven and stuff, they're going to go to Las Vegas and send the weekend away. You got to be hard on them. You got to tell them about hell. You got to scare them. Well, that's next week's sermon. Just kidding. But what they're afraid of is that this all becomes too much about us, and it becomes too easy to take for granted and all that sort of thing. But I think that's actually the wrong way to think about it. Because when you understand this love that Paul's talking about, this love is about you, but not really. It's for you, but it's not from you. This love is actually about Jesus Christ. See, what makes you lovable to God is not you. And it's not me. What makes you and I lovable to God is nothing about us. It's not that we're Browns fans. Although he loves you more if you are. No, I'm just kidding. It's not anything about you. It's all because of Christ. And when I realize this love for God, it's not anchored in me, it's anchored in the person of Jesus Christ, then I realize it can never be taken away, it can never be changed, it can never be added to or depleted, because it's all because of what Christ has done for me. And it is a solid rock to build my life on. And so when you understand this love for you, you understand Christ more, and you see his glory. You see the one who can make someone unlovable like us into the dearly beloved of God. And you don't get the glory for it. Christ does. And Christ is the one that we look to with great hope and great joy and great thanks. When you understand this love, we understand something beautiful about Christ. When we were in Arizona, we stopped at a friend's house and they had a really cool home that was like 100 years old, kind of older, beautiful home. You know how they just have, those older homes just have more character to them. You know, cool little nooks and crannies. And the guy who owned the house, he had just taken some real creative liberty and done some cool stuff in the house. Like, he put this massive church door on their bathroom. I know that sounds weird, but it looked cool. It's like real tall. I'm not going to try to explain it to you. I see the judgmental looks. It was cool. And he did a bunch of like other real unique things like that. And he just made the home, although it was old and at the point where things were starting to break down, and he had made it beautiful. And at the end of the day, it was his creativity, his work, his effort that made something old and broken down beautiful. And this is the love of Christ. It takes us who are broken, who are messed up, and he makes us beautiful before God. You are 100% loved by God today in Jesus Christ. You could not be more beautiful to God, no matter what, than you are right now because of Christ. Because of Christ. I don't care if you were a total idiot last night. Guess what? You're still beautiful to him. I don't care how much you will fail and mess up in the future. If you are committed to Christ, you are beautiful to God. You are loved. And Paul says, I just pray that you would know that. It's hard to believe. It's hard to believe, but it's true. It's hard to believe it's possible, but it's true. And church, when we start to believe that in a real way, it'll transform us. Let's pray. Father, we know that we cannot believe these things without the help of your Spirit. Father, we see that when Paul prayed, he invoked the whole Trinity, that this takes the work of the Father, the Spirit, and the Son for us, Lord, to just fully experience the radical love of Christ. And Father, I pray where my words failed, Lord, your Spirit would just ingrain this truth in our heart. That today, Lord, we're not loved because of what we do. And we're not unloved because other people didn't love us. We're not unlovable because we experienced abuse from key people in our life. Lord, we're not outside of your love because we've made big mistakes and have huge regrets. Father, today, Lord, whatever troubles us, I pray you could just set us free through the love of Christ. I pray, Father, we could just, our hearts could be strengthened, that Christ could dwell there as we just live in this place of great strength and great security and great transformation. And I pray, Lord, that as we know it, we would help other people to know it. And that they could live from it too. We would help our community to know it. And Lord, we pray it would all turn to people like us looking to Jesus Christ and saying, you are great. You are worthy. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. We give you praise and honor and thanks. We ask all this through our great Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.